Welcome to another enlightening episode of Meltdown to Mastery with your host, Jane Marchiendi. Today, we have an incredible guest joining us, Chantel Phillips, a Reiki master and healer with a remarkable journey spanning 25 years. Chantel's path to becoming a Reiki master began as a quest for relief from anxiety and insomnia. Skeptical at first, she stumbled upon Reiki almost by accident, thinking it sounded too good to be true, but what she discovered transformed her life in ways she could never have imagined. Today, it's not just a part of her life, it is her life. Chantel is here to share her story and wisdom with us as she helps others awaken their inner fire and unlock the incredible potential within themselves. She has a unique talent for cutting through the dogma and demystifying Reiki and the healing arts, making them accessible to all. Join us for a conversation that promises to open your mind and heart to the possibilities of holistic healing. Let's dive in and explore the transformative journey of Chantel Phillips, Reiki master, and discover how it can illuminate your path to mastery. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, Chantel.
Hi, Jane. Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, so excited. And all the way from Hong Kong. So why don't we start just with your own personal journey and how you got into energy healing, what is Reiki, and how you feel it's been hijacked a bit by a new age dogma.
Actually, I got into Reiki really by accident. Honestly, this was, in my early 20s, I'd already had experienced about 10 years of, depression, insomnia. Nothing had helped. And so I was looking for something, healing. I didn't know what that was. I knew it was a thing, but I'd never met anyone who did it. And it was through that I got into Reiki. That was it. I actually couldn't find anyone to treat me. What I found was somebody who said, "Well, you can join the class." And knowing nothing, I joined the class. I thought, "Well, okay, fine. I'll get something out of this." And I mean, to be perfectly honest, I didn't believe any of it. I sat there through the 2 days of the course and I figured, well, I'll get something out of this. I'll learn something, but this is just total BS. Like, no way.
Really?
Because it seemed, because it seemed too good to be true in that too easy to learn. I thought, what do you mean? Like, what? I sit here, the Reiki master is going to do something to me, mysterious. Because, she really made it mysterious. I don't do that, by the way, but when I teach. But and then that's it? I've got Reiki? So I didn't believe it. When I felt something in my hands, I thought it was psychological. I thought, okay, I want to believe this at some level. So therefore, I think that there's something. And then I decided to test it. I thought, right, I'm going to do this for 1 month. And at the end of a month, if there's no change, then I'll just drop it and move on. And actually, the change was quite dramatic after a month or so. Yeah, after a few weeks, I signed up for Reiki level 2. And I thought, this is it.
Wow.
This. But it awakened a lot for me.
Yeah. What did you notice in your hands, and what were the first things that you noticed that were changed?
I noticed, well, it's actually what most new students notice. I noticed a tingling sensation, and I was feeling warmth. And then I was noticing, and it wasn't always a constant warmth, because I thought, well, maybe it's just body heat. That must be what it is. It's just body heat. And I thought, well, no, sometimes it would be really hot, not uncomfortably hot, but just much more intense than a body heat.
Right.
And for me, it was also something that touching others, when I was practicing, I was feeling a lot, even in my own body. What I mean is I was feeling their stuff in my body. I started to get a lot of clear. Like for me, it woke up a lot and strengthened a lot. And that's also something that happens the vast majority, if not all, of Reiki students in some way. It does wake something up. It's one quite mm-hmm. wonderful. So for me, this was, but I really had to see how, the first healing work I really did, as it should be, was on myself. And I saw so many changes and other people noticed as well. And that was really wonderful for people to just, because I wasn't telling people that I was practicing Reiki. I was really shy about it. Right? It's like my little secret thing. Yeah. And just for other people to notice, it was really wonderful.
Did it and help the insomnia? Chantel, did
oh my gosh, that was the first thing. It helped on day one.
Really?
And I woke up the next day and I thought, oh, it must be because it was a really long day. So that's why. And yet you're conveniently forgetting that I'd had plenty of long days in the, previous, prior to that 10 years. But I couldn't believe it. And then I thought, okay, it's a one-off. It's just a one-off. And I have not had insomnia since. It was really that remarkable for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you were just, depression. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Depression too. But you just went to sleep easily and slept through the night and just more restful and calmer.
Oh, absolutely. And, prior to Reiki, I was actually, when I would sleep, and I didn't have to get up for work, for example, if I was, I could sleep for 12 hours. I would just be exhausted sometimes. So it was really sometimes that extreme. And I mean, of course, that's not healthy either. And I found that just with continued practice, my sleep became so much healthier and just, restful. My dreams became much, much nicer because I used to have a lot of nightmares as well. It was, I did not have good sleep. It was terrible. But then that also ties into, people with depression, different issues, that tends to be the case as well. But I do notice with my clients and students, they'll often say that a very noticeable thing is the good sleep.
Wow. That's precious, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it helps. Absolutely. So it helps. Yeah. And it helped depression as well.
Oh, yes. Because I was told that for what I had, it was untreatable. It's controlled with medication. Let's say it another way. I was diagnosed as bipolar. And even that, okay, let's not even get into that, but this whole the diagnoses and all of this. But I was told to take medication to control the different extreme mood swings that happen, the manic states. And I didn't. I refused to take the medication. I self-medicated like a lot of people do. I isolated myself from people when it was really bad. I didn't feel... Something in me, it felt really, I just didn't want to take the medication. But I was told that, that's it. You got it for life. This isn't the sort of thing that you can talk away or therapy away. And then I found when I was feeling wonderful, it was like a couple of years without any manic episodes. It was wonderful. And then I was back in Toronto and I saw my doctor and I said, wow, this is great. And he said, yes, because I was quite naive. I thought it was such an exciting thing to share Reiki with him in case any other patients wanted to do a non-medical route. And he just stared at me and said, it never goes away. It can go into remission for up to 10 years. And he said, so trust me, it's going to hit you at some point. And no, it's been 28 years. And, nope. And the same. So even when I was, when I had my son, of course, this is years ago, I was also flagged as high risk for a postnatal depression because this also runs in my family. And so I was a super, high risk and nope. Nothing, but I was self-treating. I continued to self-treat.
So now you have all this experience in Reiki, what do you think it did to help you?
At the beginning, I must say that although I don't recommend people experience what I did, I think that had I gone to healers, had anyone actually decided to help me, none of them would. Had anyone decided to help me, I realize I probably would have just attributed any success in the healing process to them, to other people. Even if someone had told me, no, I'm just helping you, which is what Reiki does. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, if somebody really doesn't want to get better, if they're just going to lie there, basically, like just like a piece of wood and say, right, do this. Yes, it does help, but it's temporary. It really is. I mean, what Reiki is doing is awakening that person's self-healing ability. And a person doesn't have to learn Reiki for this. Some of my clients want to learn, some of them don't, and it's fine. But the ones who do, they really start to understand. They get to a much deeper level of understanding in whatever we're healing, whatever we're working on. The Reiki works to specifically heal and release the root causes. But if that person doesn't, if they want no part in the healing process, well, then no, it's not going to be that effective. When they're really on board with it and really taking control, it goes much, much faster. So we have a huge role in this. But, in my case, in just learning Reiki, never experiencing any healing from anyone, in learning it for myself, that was the biggest, my first biggest lesson was, oh my gosh, I can actually do this. I can actually be responsible. I'm not a victim. I don't have to sit there and say, well, look at all the bad things that happened to me and look at the stuff I've been through. Of course I'm depressed. Of course I'm upset. Of course, whatever, mm-hmm. fill in the blanks. Mm-hmm. And then to realize, no. And then leave that mentality completely. And this is where we get into the really empowered side of it, where mm-hmm. it's not only about healing. It really is reaching, that point of, wow, I do have this direct connection with the divine. Or even if a person doesn't care at all about that, even if they're an atheist, it doesn't matter. It's like, no, they're still going to be connecting, but they can just attribute it. Really? Well, it's their own practice to what they're doing.
Yeah. So I find that too, that if someone decides that they want to empower themselves and take control of their lives again and figure these things out, the process is faster.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And, for a lot of people, Reiki is the thing. Because one of the big reasons is because it's so easy to learn. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't have to, especially if a person is at a very low energy state already, and perhaps in a state of depression as well, they're not going to practice something. They just don't have the will they're not going to be consistent or keep up with it. When they feel energy flowing immediately from their own hands, it's an amazing motivation. But for people who don't want to learn it, as I said, sometimes I point them in a different direction. I'll say, this might be a nicer fit, a better fit. I just find Reiki, even in that sense, for a lot of people, it's an important stepping stone in finding their own path or whatever's best, whatever's best for the, for them, for their own growth, their own healing.
Yeah. So it gets you in touch with an intuition and helps yes. guide what you should do next, which is.
Yes, exactly. And again, it comes back to being empowered, to being more empowered, mm-hmm. Like truly, truly empowered. We're saying, oh, wow, it's my intuition. I don't just have to, be dependent on other people to say, oh, what do you think? What do you feel about this? It's nice to seek second opinions, of course, but not to be dependent on that. So in so many ways, I found especially Reiki, because I do teach other practices, but Reiki is my absolute number one, my favorite, because of this.
Yeah. Yeah. So Chantel, for someone that doesn't even know what Reiki is, can uh-huh. can you just give a description of how, what it is and how you experience it?
Okay. Well, the words Reiki, this actually is a Japanese term, which is usually translated to mean universal energy. So like the ki part of Reiki is the same as chi or prana. But the rei part is actually, the better translation is coming from, you know, from the heavens. What it really, really means is this highest connection. That's why I call it this divine connection. But because Reiki requires no belief whatsoever, I mean, it's not a religion, it's none of that. You don't have to believe any of that, but we're basically tapping into, well, once the Reiki master makes that connection, it's like, I sometimes summarize it as, you know, a Reiki master plugs you into the Reiki source. And once you're plugged in, you have this unlimited connection, this unlimited flow of energy for the rest of your life. So anytime you want it, you just place the hands on either yourself or on someone else or something else in order for the energy to flow. But it was originally, it's taught as a self-healing practice. But of course, we can share it with other people. But yeah, it's been around for about 100 years now, but it originated in Japan.
Yeah, and you don't share it because there has to be that individual decision to learn it and take responsibility in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now although Reiki can never harm. And I have actually tested that because, I mean, I know every Reiki book or website will say this. I have actually tested it. I wanted to know if by having a negative intention, would it still flow? And it doesn't actually. It cuts off. That can be another time if you're like, how I conducted these experiments. But nobody was harmed. I'll just say that. No one was harmed in the process. But it really is this... very pure, positive energy. And it doesn't interfere with any other form of therapy, whether it's alternative or conventional. So it's a wonderful, it's a wonderful technique in itself, but it's also a great support technique.
Yeah. So do you find it works best for self-healing, if you learn the technique and get what's like when you take it from a master, they plug you in, as you say.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Some people claim that they are doing Reiki without ever having seen a Reiki master. I'm just talking about the ones the people I've met who've told me this. When I've checked it, definitely it's chi, but we won't say it's Reiki. But if they learned Reiki, they would have an amazing Reiki ability. And so most of them do. They'll say, if you already have a good chi, a good flow of chi, then it does make it, you know, a lot stronger. excuse me. I really enjoy it when people learn Reiki, though, because rather than just only receiving it, because then they have it for themselves. You know, it's this wonderful thing that they don't have to rely. They're not reliant on anyone. Now, of course, they can come to me if they want, you know, maybe a particularly intensive healing session. But I really, really like it when people learn and they do it for themselves.
Yeah. Most powerful. So What is some of the dogma that you found over the years? Because you teach a very pure form and your intent is very pure.
Oh, thank you. I try. I do try. But
I know we're all human.
You know, I found, like, when I first learned, because, I mean, this was also pre-Google, pre-internet things. I mean, really, I was reliant on, you know, the very few Reiki books that were around at that time. And they were all, I mean, none of these were the traditional, nobody was talking about the traditional Japanese practice. And so I was just, you know, led to believe that what I was practicing was traditional Reiki. And in fact, that's how it is still. Most people just assume, oh yeah, this is Reiki. They don't know that no, what, you know, almost, you know, what we get in, you know, outside Japan, this is non-traditional Reiki. Although we can say it's Usui Reiki, yes. There are still a lot of things in it that are not traditional. Now, that being said, when I teach, I do teach what I feel are the best practices from both the traditional and non-traditional side. There are good things, except what I found was in the non-traditional practice, and this is what I got, this idea that, like, step one, before you do Reiki, ask your Reiki guides for assistance. Now, I don't know. I mean, you learned Reiki. I mean, were you told something like this?
No.
Lucky you. Because there is a huge part of this New Age dogma that's in Reiki is this idea of Reiki guides, that in order to practice Reiki in the best possible way, you must have help from your, which are a, sort of like a version of spirit guide. Okay, but for Reiki. And then they add all these, you know, other just very New Age aspects into it. That's the biggest one, that there's that the Reiki guides. And so again,
again, if you're asking for help from a guide, it's not your direct source.
No, exactly. You know,
yeah,
this is what I found in when I kept, because I did keep investigating and practicing. And I remember when I would ask my Reiki guides for assistance, I mean, I remember feeling a little, a bit stupid. Like thinking, like, what am I doing right now? I mean, I was raised in a very religious household, and it wasn't for me. And so I felt like this is feeling religious to me. And then, I mean, other aspect, I mean, outside of Reiki, of the New Age community, because of course, when you first learn Reiki, and especially at that time, the only people I knew who did Reiki were in the New Age community. So then it's steeped in that. And then people discussing, I mean, even getting into the number of guides they had, or people telling me, oh, I see all these guides around you when you're doing this. And I remember thinking, well, I don't see anything. You know, I'm not seeing a thing. Yeah. I'm just focused on the energy. And then, as you said, it felt like more and more like, wait, so we're not we're not having this direct connection to the divine. You know, we either are or we aren't connected in that way. Why do we need middlemen? That's how I saw this idea of Reiki guides and guides in general. Why do I need any of this? For what? Mm-hmm. And so I think, well, you know, the way I teach, I tell people, look, if you're into that, then, you know, go for it, I guess. I mean, go knock yourself out, you know. But it's not necessary to do this as part of the Reiki. And I do tell them that. You don't have to do this. But if you're really into it, well, I mean, you can do anything, really, before Reiki. If you have a religion, yes, you can say a prayer before you start. Yeah. But basically, what you should be, all you really need to do is just to set a good intention before beginning. That's all. It's very simple. You know, Mikei Usui, the founder of Reiki, he was very clear about this. But see, his work, his teachings were only translated into English later, you know, I mean, after I learned, you know, a few years following. And so that's really wonderful. We can read about this now. But a lot of people still don't bother. A lot of Reiki masters or Reiki practitioners, they don't bother. But if they did, they would know, like, we don't need any of this other stuff. Or people who say, like, no, I need to use all my crystals first before I do Reiki. I have to set up all my crystals. It's like, well, no, you don't. But you can if you really like it. But you need nothing except your hands in order to practice Reiki. That's it. That's all.
Yeah. And if you're asking for information from a guide, you'd have to be very careful to set the intent that it's a good guide.
Because, well, yeah, that's another thing that it made me really uncomfortable that when I was first sort of in the New Age community, the way they would say, and I did, I mean, I attended all sorts of things because I was, this was like this new world that had opened up for me. I thought, oh my gosh, there's this, all this stuff going on. And I was attending all these, you know, talks and workshops and everything and see your auras, which by the way, I couldn't see auras. I'll just throw that. I couldn't. That stuff happened later just by itself. But anyway, this idea of, you know, channeling all this stuff, it was just open yourself up, breathe deeply, open yourself up, see what comes through, and don't worry, it's all love and light. And I didn't do it. I was really horrified. And I looked around and I thought, am I the only person here seeing how reckless, how dangerous this is? You know, it's not all love and light out there. And when I would try to talk about it to people, they would say, well, no, if you have a pure heart and a pure intention, that's, you only attract what's good. But I disagree. I would say, well, no. And I said, and how do you know? I would ask them, how do you know what you're inviting in is actually good? And they said, well, because, you know, it will feel, oh, it feels so nice. Or it will, if they hear it speaking, they would say, oh, it's like, oh, my, you know, dear one, that sort of thing. Mm. And I'd say, well, so what? I said, what, you think that negative entities, negative beings, I said, do you think they're stupid? Do you think they're going to show up and say, hi there, I'm super evil or I'm a negative thing. I'm just going to attach now and suck your energy out. Thanks a lot for that. You know, just, right? Not how it works. They don't announce themselves like that. I don't know, then more and more I was seeing people around me who were just doing this like a spiritual one-upmanship. I've always worked with Saint-Germain myself, or I'm always with this sort of ascended master. And I just have no association with that community. I haven't for a while because it just wasn't for me. And just this whole idea of, well, no, there's no right or wrong. It's everything's good. It's all just good. And it was just, I don't know, very flimsy in terms of a spiritual, in terms of spirituality. I just found it, very flimsy.
Yeah. And there's a feeling of a very large ego involvement with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I remember being at a couple of events and, I did upset or annoyed, not hugely, but you know, offended, that's the better word. I offended some people because this woman was talking about, oh, her guides and how wonderful, how amazing her team, she called them her team. Well, my team and blah, blah, blah. And so I made a joke. I said, really? Well, my guides can beat up your guides. And she just stared, because to me, it sounded like a playground thing. Well, my dad can blah, blah, blah. My dad can beat up. You remember the, like, just like little kids, silly stuff. Well, my, so I said, well, really? I bet my guides could beat up your guides. And she just glared at me. I mean, a couple of people nearby did, they got the joke. They thought it was funny, but oh my gosh, she said, you know, that's really negative. And which is, you as you know, in New Age circles, to be called negative, like, oh, that's one of the worst things you can be called. Oh, no, you're so negative. Right. So, but this is, I just saw so much, too much ego going on. It just left a really bad taste in my mouth. I just really wasn't interested. And what I was also seeing was people who would say, oh, they talk about the abundance in the universe. Oh, there's enough for everybody, the abundance that flows through the universe. All of them are saying this. And yet, oh my gosh, they would, the competition that would be going on for business, how they, and I see this all the time. They try to badmouth other practitioners. They try to, I mean, these things that go on. Because, and I think, well, wow, really nice to see that faith in the abundance in action. So I found a lot, or a lot of control, or I see a lot of people always wanting to keep their students, just one step below, just one level below, just something. It's like, no, 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 no. I want my power. Or manipulate, using a lot of manipulation. And they don't have, now, of course, I'm not saying, of course, not everyone, that's ridiculous, but this is really what I was, what really turned me away from all of, you know, really the New Age community. It was just all the hypocrisy, far too much of it, far too much ego. And some of the dangerous stuff, which we talked about a little, you know, a moment ago about the, you know, not taking the negative or dark side of things seriously.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And even in practicing, like unless I feel very connected, I don't practice Reiki on other people. I practice it on myself, but I'm very careful that I have to be in the right space. And I don't, and I don't use Reiki as, oh, I've got Reiki. So,
but you're in the minority because, you know, oh my gosh, the number of people who, the moment they get their Reiki certificate, they rush out giving, oh, I'm just doing Reiki now. You know, and I'm honestly, I saw someone do this very recently. And so I got in touch with this person and said, look, I know that you've only been a practitioner for a matter of, you know, a few months. And this person is already, they went off and did their master training. So from Reiki 1 to master training in a few months, to give some credit, it can be done in one weekend if you, you know, off some websites. But anyway, but this person is saying, well, you know, but I'm I can heal now. And other people said I could. And I said, but this isn't ethical at all. This person has a lot of stuff they need to work on. I offered to guide that person to say, look, all of us go through this before you, you know, it's great. You want to help people, but you really need to do this work on yourself first. And then you're actually a lot better for other people. And this person, nope, she didn't want to hear it. So, oh, well. I shouldn't say that lightly. It bothers me. It just does. I think, oh my gosh. And there's so many, but then there's so many people doing this. I don't let everyone touch me. Like I don't. Okay. With my students, yes, they practice on me and I give really clear, honest feedback. But I don't let many people touch me. Because too many, and it's Reiki. It's such a the big offenders because they put such an, it's really the traditional Japanese practice of it. The emphasis was self-treatment, self-treatment first. But in the non-Japanese, I could say in the Western world or, you know, the emphasis is on share it with everybody, run around, give people Reiki. And these people, I mean, it's not like they're, what I find is if they try to give me Reiki, what I pick up on is their own, you know, aside from the Reiki, which generally won't be a great flow anyway, their stuff, their energy, their personal energy. Sometimes I just don't like it. But, you know, and so that's why it's the people going to them who don't know this, who are really, I guess, losing out because they're trusting that a practitioner has had the practice, that there are, or they guess that there must be standards in Reiki, and actually there aren't. No, there is no world governing body for Reiki because it doesn't cause harm. There's no regulation for it. So it is completely unregulated. And I really, some people, far away from me.
Right. And I don't find regulation is a positive thing, but we always have to take self-responsibility. And it is. Yeah. Like even as a doctor, heal thyself first. Right? Yep. There's so much. Just being human requires a lot of healing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just really hard. I guess I would, you know, when people ask me, well, how do I know? How do I know if this is a good, you know, if it's a good practitioner? Honestly, you should ask how long the person has been practicing. If you're going to somebody for a treatment, definitely ask them how long they've been practicing, because there are way too many people who are out there after a matter of, you know, weeks or even days. Yikes. Yeah. I think that's a valid question to ask actually for any sort of therapy a person's receiving. They should be able to ask those questions. And then if they didn't feel comfortable with the practitioner, to speak up, because a lot of people won't. A lot of people will stay quiet or think, oh, maybe this is just the way Reiki's supposed to be. Or, yeah. I don't know. And it's like, no. If there's anything uncomfortable, just stop. Say, no, yeah. I'd rather be finished. Thank you.
Right. And it's trusting that inner voice. Don't give away your power.
Yeah.
So Chantel, what are some of the, I remember when I took Reiki, some of the beautiful things that were taught on top of it were forgiveness. And just for today, I'll let go of worry. Just for today, I'll let go of, teaching you to be in the moment. What are some of the beautiful things that you teach?
Because I'd say no for the, I mean, I totally agree for the five Reiki principles. I'll just say, I mean, none of those ideas are new. It's not like the founder of the system came up with it and, I'm the first person to say, don't get angry. Express gratitude, earn your living honestly, things like this. But yeah, the key to it is that just for today. Because this is what what he says at the beginning of each of these principles. And this is a huge thing. When I would tell people, if you say, oh no, I shouldn't get angry. Oh, I'm not supposed to do this anymore. It's so heavy. How we're human. And you remember, no, just for today. Just for today. But I think some of the other, amazing, but some of the other, I guess, really beautiful things about Reiki. Is when people start to notice more and more, just that feeling more connected with everything around them, every living thing. And even not just being, for example, even just being in nature, being near anything, but so many people will tell me that they suddenly felt so much more that sense of oneness. Of this, connection. And I absolutely felt this. And I would say also, and something that Reiki is definitely known for, the feeling of love, that it's such a loving energy. And this was incredible to me to feel it and to know that, wow, I don't have to rely on other, rely on other people to feel loved. To get love, to feel that, oh my gosh, I can just do this and I feel this. And so many people who experience Reiki will describe it as like, wow, a feeling of what they call unconditional love, just a loving energy. Or during treatments when they say, oh my gosh, I felt so much love. And it's a really beautiful side of Reiki. For a lot of other, I guess, energy practices, that's not necessarily part of it at all. It's a lot of like vitality, health, but Reiki, having this aspect of love, it really does change to me. That was a very life-changing thing. And that capacity to grow that self-love, and then you, by extension, then you grow this love for others and compassion and kindness. This is a really wonderful, beautiful side, but that comes through actually using it. Just learning Reiki is not going to do that. So I wish practitioners would do that more for themselves. If I have to say, Reiki practitioners, if you're listening, please keep giving that love to yourself and then share it. You can share it with others.
Yeah, Chantel. And can you, we say love, we say unconditional love, self-love, but can you describe what it feels like in the body when you feel it? And it's a guidepost, isn't it? It's like you're on the right track if you're feeling that.
Yeah. Because I'll say that before learning Reiki, I had heard the term unconditional love. I had. But honestly, I just thought it was a load of crap. Because I would think about it and think, well, no, it's actually not possible. humans aren't capable. This is really what I used to think. I would really analyze this and think, no. I don't think that, or the vast majority of people are capable of unconditional love. There's always some sort of condition in there. No matter how good we think we are, you know, there is something. So I thought it was just a really, an overly, I don't know, kind of saccharine sort of phrase. That, oh, it's very sweet. Oh, isn't that cute? It's a cute little idea, but no, not real. Well, I'd never experienced it. And that feeling to me was, now I can explain it. At the time, I was just thought, I know that it was literally my heart chakra. And at that time, though, I just felt it as this warmth inside my chest, in the middle of my chest, this warmth. And then it just was spreading through my whole body. Everything felt warm, and this sense of goodness. And it did make me cry. It did. I definitely had tears, but wonderful tears. It felt so good. And when people are, you know, whether, you know, when my students are talking about it or when I'm giving treatments, this is what, when people can put it into words, they'll just say, sometimes they say just waves of just happiness, well-being. Oh, I feel so good. I just feel so good. Or when they say to me like, oh, I feel so much love from you. I'll say, well, yeah, there is some of that for me. I said, this is how it should feel. I said, this is your heart. This is you. This is you. It's not just from the outside, you know. This is from the inside too. Mm-hmm. And that feeling of the unconditional side is knowing that they don't owe, we don't owe anything from this. It's just a beautiful feeling. And it's so deep. And I guess in a sense it can be, I guess for some people, almost euphoric. But you just know that there is no fear in that moment in feeling this. There's no fear. There's no insecurity. There's no anxiety. There's none of that. It's just such a beautiful feeling. And very often a person will actually have a really, I've noticed in treatments when people are experiencing this big expansion in the heart, they actually do take a very deep breath. And they don't realize it. But these huge, deep breaths as the whole chest starts to open up, it's a wonderful feeling. But it is a bit abstract, so it's a bit difficult. I don't know if I'm explaining myself clearly or at all.
I know, right? You did a beautiful job. I could feel it. It felt wonderful. And it's interesting how love and fear can exist at the same time, right? So you can knock it out by thinking fearful thoughts, but you know, that neutral place where you allow it to come in is incredibly powerful.
Yes. And even just, and the relief, you know, for, and I remember feeling it. So when I see my clients experiencing it, I do recall years ago when I was first starting my self-healing, that moment of just, oh, and then to cry, but releasing those fears. And seeing it clearly to think, oh my gosh, I don't need to be scared of these things anymore. I don't need to do this. Oh my God, I feel so free. And I can love myself, because even that was a very difficult concept for me. When I was reading, this again, before my self-healing, I was reading a lot on these subjects and, you know, the idea of, you know, to love yourself. And I just thought like, what does that mean? What does that actually mean? I love myself. And I just felt I couldn't even say the words. I couldn't. To say I love myself, I would feel either it would trigger old things, such as, you know, this means I'm very selfish, or you know, you're an egomaniac if you say that. Mm-hmm. You know, and for example, in the very religious upbringing I had, I mean, you don't dare say I love myself. Otherwise, that'd be it. Like, oh, that's, you know, what a terrible sin that would be, because you're saying it to be, and so you're not, you know, you're supposed to be humble and you're not allowed to say that.
Yeah.
It's
thought of as selfish.
Yes. Right?
We're taught that it's exactly. selfish. Yeah.
Yep. So there was that. And then there was also, because of those years of depression and self-loathing, I thought, well, I don't actually love myself. Why should I? Why should I? For what? You know, and especially when you're in that very dark phase in depression, that you don't see anything to love. And then if other people tell you, no, but I love you and I can see this good thing in you, you don't believe them. And you also feel unworthy. You say mm-hmm. It makes you feel actually even worse very often. I mean, when you're that deep in it. And so it was so alien for me to feel that for myself. And so that was it literally, because I know it's such an overused term, but for me, literally, it was life changing to be able to feel that in myself. And then when I see other people experiencing it, I just feel so happy. I feel so overjoyed, really. I love seeing other people experience that too.
Well, what feeds it is this desire to help others, doesn't it? It plugs
Absolutely.
You in. But Reiki, is it like it bypasses some of these, it helps you bypass them, doesn't it? It plugs you in a more direct way so you can get around all that negative self-talk.
Yeah. Oh, it really speeds things up. Oh my gosh. It really brings things to the surface. And what I mean is we might start thinking about certain aspects that we hadn't thought about before. Within ourselves and also the things going on around us, we start noticing things more, and not in a self-loathing sort of way, in a way of, wow, this is a pattern. I keep doing this. Why am I doing this? And seeing so much more clearly. So without that judgment, without that harshness, and that speeds things up. And then I also found, most Reiki practitioners will notice this, that after you learn Reiki, you also start to attract the things that you need to push you further along that healing path. It could be meeting the right people, finding the right book, a conversation you have with somebody it really sparks something in you. So I find a lot of these, what we call like synchronicities, start occurring much more frequently. After learning Reiki.
Right. And life becomes magical if you stay mm-hmm. open to it.
Yep. Yep.
And I find too, it's, you know, these things that were so big and so negative, when you shine light on them, it's like a shadow. It disappears. It dissipates. It doesn't have the strength and the power over you anymore.
Exactly. Or the things that, as you said, we're not having to push things out of the way. You know, we're like push things back down. There definitely is a percentage of people though who learn Reiki and then they don't enjoy it. It's a very small percentage, but I read about it. I have met people who've told me this, and what they didn't like was the way they had to confront certain aspects about themselves, the shadow self. They don't want to know about it. And I thought, whoa, wow, you certainly shouldn't have learned Reiki then. Oh my goodness. but you know what? I find that they usually approach it thinking, oh, well, I'm not going to have to, you know, it'll make it easy. And in their opinion, making it easy means not having to confront the self at all, just wiping it all away. And you know, that's not what happens. We do confront ourselves, but with clarity and without, you know, the judgment. But we need to do this. No matter which approach we have to healing, I mean, that's healing, whatever way you want to sum it up. So there are people who don't like that Reiki shines that light on the areas that we need to work on. They don't see it. It's not a welcome light for them. They'd much rather think those things stay in the dark. So it does happen. So this also shows me Reiki never forces anything. Yeah. If you really don't want it, it's not going to do this for you. But this is a tiny minority. But yeah, there are those people who don't want it, for sure.
Yeah, well, it is painful. Well, you think it's going to be painful, but really it's much easier than you think. It's like that dark side is scaring you into, you know, looking at it. But what it disease is dis-ease, right? Where we feel uneasy in our bodies because of what we're thinking and experiencing. So you have to go through it.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a teenager just trying to figure out how to get through a dark time, and I meditated on it, and I was told the only way out is to go through it. To just ease yourself into it.
It's so true. And it's a wonderful thing for you to have known that, or to hear that, you know, at that time in your life. I mean, it was great. I mean, for me, it was just escape, 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 warning, warning, and then self-medicate.
Yeah.
Escape, just escape my reality, escape myself, escape everything.
And we use drugs and entertainment and shopping and all those distractions, right?
Yeah. Anything and everything. I often tell students, well, anyone, clients as well, when it's difficult, you know, I remind them, look, if healing was easy, like self-healing, if this was easy, everyone in the world would already be doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not easy. It's not, actually. I mean, at the beginning, I find the beginning is the most difficult, because that's when it's like, oh, yikes. Mm-hmm. You know, I told them, like, some people do need, I mean, that's why I think it's important to give that additional support. You know, once the session is done, it's not like, yeah, see you next time or see you. It's like, no. For some people, it's actually quite light, but for other people, it's heavy. I am happy to guide them through this, because I think, look, to look in the mirror can be incredibly ugly and uncomfortable. I'll say, but we need to do it. And that's why I always try to keep some humor in it. I say, have some humor. You know, you've got to have some humor, you know, where you can look and go, yikes. Right? Ooh, yay. That's pretty ugly. There. I said, but thanks. I'm working on it. I'll say, okay, I see you, nasty thing, that ugliness. Oh, I got you. I'm going to work on you.
Right. And again, it's to realize that it's in everyone, like all of us. No one is perfect. And it's the state of humanity.
I wish more people would, you know, we know it, but we don't really accept that. What I mean is, when I have clients and I know what's going on. I know what's going on in them because I feel it. I know it. I see it. And there, I also feel that they're really ashamed or they're embarrassed. What they're thinking, I know what they're thinking because I tell them. They're thinking, oh my God, she's going to be, if she knows what I'm really like, she's just going to think I'm the most horrible human being. Because she's, you know, they have this idea, this illusion that somehow, like, no, I'm really perfect and I always have been. I'm this perfect being. So I have to tell them, not everyone, but I have to tell them, like, no way. And also, I remind them, if I was perfect, I wouldn't have to be here anymore. I would grow my wings. I'd sprout my wings and I'd fly away. The fact that I'm in front of you is evidence that I'm still learning my lessons. I'm still doing my self-healing. There's always something I can work on, always something to refine. And I said, all of us have darkness. Yes, some in larger quantities than others. Yes, that's true. You know, but I'll tell them, there is nothing in you that is going to scare me or make me think, what a horrible human being. You know, they're with me because they want healing. And I've told them, like, yeah, it's would be much worse if you're wandering around not caring, not wanting to change. That's much worse. But to realize all of us have this stuff, all of us. And the point is, like, we're, you know, once we've started to heal, and you know, we're starting that that journey, it's okay. It's okay. It's a wonderful thing to actually start that, to begin the journey. And once you call out the crap, all of us have it. Once you call it out, then you can get rid of it. And it's wonderful.
Yeah. And it's really why we're here, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Like, well, I strongly believe that we're here to learn the lessons. Yeah. And you know, you'll notice even in the small ways, you know, I tell people, we know that you've healed something when that pattern stops, when that particular thing stops occurring, whether it's relationship patterns, life patterns, work, whatever it is. When that cycle stops, then you know, oh, yeah, oh, that I'm done. Yay, I'm done with that. It's wonderful, but then they see that, you know, this is also where the empowerment comes in. When we recognize, oh, wow, I can change all of this. I'm responsible for this, but because they learned the lesson. That's all it is. Once we learn the lesson, the cycle stops. And I do think that's in the small everyday things, but also in the huge scale of things. I do believe that. We're here to learn the lessons.
Yeah. And part of me now sees that there's been a huge agenda to stop us from realizing how powerful we as individuals are. We're trained to give away our power to something bigger than what we imagine, bigger and better than ourselves. And
yep.
If we all understood this, that would be a completely different world.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Unfortunately, I mean, there are always going to be people, well, I hope not always, but people who it somehow gives them comfort to give their power away, because then they can say they don't have to take responsibility for anything. You know,
yeah.
But in terms of, you know, but when we're talking about this, you know, what we call, you know, the world of healing, of, you know, real, to me, a real spiritual and healing path, and which is when we're connecting with that real power, really. And again, in the New Age community, they always talk about this, you know, connecting with your inner, you know, the inner goddess, connecting with this, this is who you really are. And yet the next step, they're taking all that away. That somehow if you receive, you know, your own, like this guidance, oh no, it's not yours. That must be from your guide. That must be from an ascended master. That must be from something else. And so they dangle all of these promises of being empowered and connect with your true inner power. But they don't let you do that. Instead, you have to, or you're stuck following a teacher the whole time. Oh, this is my guru. This is my teacher. I need to listen to them all the time. You know, when I have, but some people want it. When I've had students say, oh yeah, really, I'm so happy that you're my guru. And I'll say, no, I'm going to run away now. Nope. Now you scared me. And so sometimes, okay, they're searching for the word. Okay. I say teacher is a better word, but please. I said, no. No, I said, don't give your power to me. What are you doing? Or I joke all the time. I said, man, if I wanted to start a cult, so easy. Because I tell my students, I joke, though that's the way I joke with the ones who say they just want, they'll just listen to me. And I'll say, why aren't you questioning me? Question me. Come on. Question everyone. And I don't mean in a paranoid way. But I'll say, no, ask. Or when they ask me, oh, what should I do about such and such a thing? And I tell them, I said, look, I'll tell you what I think, but first I want to hear what you think. Just tell me what you think. You know, what's your gut feeling on this? And then I just, you know, they're right, they're correct, but they haven't stopped to listen. And so a lot of people need to be that reminding. They need it. And so that's a lovely thing when people are, you know, I'm not the only one doing that, you know, but then there are all these other people who they won't do that. You know, they just want to keep you. And I said, I see this in, you know, again, this is just one in one area, I mean, we see this in all areas, and then up to the very top, and then you can keep going into, you know, levels of government, of, you know, social control of all of this.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, if we actually wake up and to our own, you know, to our real power, of course it threatens the existing structures. Of course it does.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't think this is a conspiracy. I don't think I'm being paranoid. I do think that a lot of the New Age community, it's again, it's all being hijacked, and it's another form of control and corruption.
Yeah. And it's, unfortunately, it's everywhere, but many are waking up to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And it's, but I was going to say that usually, I mean, we tend to have a higher standard, you know, for things like this, for this area, in terms of the spiritual or energy work, something like this. You know, people tend to have an assumption that all these practitioners in whatever their field in the area are going to have a higher level of integrity, honesty, compassion, all of that. There is an expectation. And so I think it's important that more people wake up and see, like, you still need to use your discernment no matter what. And listen to your inner voice. It'll tell you when something doesn't feel right. And don't give power away. It's a lot of people do that. They really try to.
Right. And health doesn't come in a pill. It doesn't come in a shot. It doesn't come from your government. It doesn't come from, you know, the WHO. It comes from what we're talking about.
Yeah. Sorry, but oh, wow. They don't even hear that. Yeah, that's a given. I didn't even need to be on that list. But yes, I assume that. But, it's true. It's absolutely true. And with my students and clients, I love being able to tell them the wonderful things that I see in them. Because, you know, it's not just that I'm seeing the dark things, the negative things. Because, I mean, well, that's important that I see that, because then I know exactly what needs to be worked on. But I love seeing all those good things, and the things that they don't see, or the things they don't realize, and waking them up to that, and then they really start to see that in themselves, and to see how. I said be like the pebble thrown into the pond, causing these beautiful ripples. And I said, start affecting the people around you. You know, it's bit by bit we're waking up like this and realizing, wow, I do have this inner light, or whatever you'd like to call it. And I do have the power to not just change myself, but to change the events around me, people around me. I do. And the more of us that wake up and realize this, the better. You know, this is where things really change. And without the ego, not the power to go over something either. But when it is coming from the heart, when it really is heart motivated, it's that joy in uplifting other people as well. But that's where there's so much power. This, you know, joining together, waking up, and all of us using our power, you know, within ourselves and together.
Yeah, because when you wake to your own personality, your own beauty, who, you know, your own heart space, and become fulfilled in who you should be, you become the piece of the puzzle, right? That's makes the whole. And then mm-hmm. there's no need to try to be another piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, you touch the other pieces, but you're your own reason for being here.
Exactly. Exactly. And just, you know, that's why I guess I'm not a member of any association. Well, as I've already gone through, no Reiki association has any power anyway. I tend to be a bit of a lone, an independent practitioner in everything that I do. But this is something I really, you know, I tell students, look, if you want to join something, just because maybe it's good for your, you know, nice thing to put on your website, or maybe you're enjoying connecting with different practitioners. Well, then that's great. But know your motivations for joining anything and understand the hierarchy of what you're joining. If they are demanding certain things, then no, no. Or, you know, and then to extend this, you know, outside of Reiki, you know, ask questions. If people don't want to answer your questions, whatever, whoever the person is, they've got something to hide. It's dodgy. It's weird. You know, that's also part of being empowered, to open your mouth, ask a question. And I do. And there's, because usually there's a lot of fear in that. People don't like to ask questions. Part of it is politeness. Part of it is just feeling that they can't, you know, it's uncomfortable to speak up. And or even when people want to ask me something and they're like, oh, and they're a bit, and I said, what do you think I'm going to do? What's the worst that will happen? I say, do you think I'm going to punch you? And they'll start laughing and say, no. I'll say, well, exactly. So what are you worried about? Just ask me stuff. Or I ask them, in asking other people, I said, what do you think is going to happen? What's the worst possible thing that will happen if you question something? If you ask, open up your mouth and ask, what do you think is going to happen? And usually they've never thought about it that way. And I'll say, just start taking control. You know, don't just follow along blindly. Ask questions. It's really healthy. And do self-examine. That's another thing that we should do regularly. I said, take a step back regularly and assess yourself. Am I still living? Am I still making decisions? Like, you know, are things still aligned with the level of integrity that I expect in my, you know, from myself? Am I still motivated by my heart, or am I motivated by selfishness, or things like power, control? What are my real motivations? I do think we need to keep, you know, continuously do that. You know, we need to do this. You know, and again, not in a heavy way, but in a light way. I said, keep going on that path. And I said, you'll get stronger and better all the time. But as I said, Reiki for me is a tool that really helps this entire process, you know?
Yeah. So beautiful, Chantel. It's so refreshing and so empowering. How do people find some of the work that you do? I know you have meditation music up and
I've recorded. Well, I've done a couple. I mean, you can find the easiest is through my website, which is healingfire.com. And I'm also on, I'm on all sorts of social media. I'm on, you know, Facebook, Instagram. But actually, all of this is found through my website, all the links. On my YouTube channel, that's where I've posted my free guided meditations. And I'm going to be much more active doing my instructional videos. But most of what I do, actually, it's for everybody. I don't just make things for Reiki practitioners. So I will say something in anything that I share. Even on my website, I have different, I'll post different practices that can be done by anybody. I will make a note, like in it, I'll say, right, if you're a Reiki practitioner, you could do this and that. But what I really like is for these things to be accessible to everyone. So yeah, there's stuff there for everyone, but I'm easily contacted and found through healingfire.com.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There's one thing for certain: meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my link tree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.